is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Hello once again. Good Monday, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our Week 5 edition of the Coordinator's Corner. It's our weekly BYU football chat with the Cougars coordinating coaches. BYU comes into the week now ranked 22nd in both the AP and the coaches polls. This after a 38-9 demolition of previously 13th ranked Kansas State on Saturday night. Coming up on today's broadcast, we will look back at that win and ahead to this weekend's battle at Baylor as we visit with defensive coordinator Jay Hill and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. Let's kick off today's show by saying hello to BYU DC safeties coach and associate head coach Jay Hill. Coach Hill, good to see you once again.
Yeah, always good to be with you.
Wow, even though you were in the booth, you could see and hear just how special a night it was at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
There were two or three absolute eruptions. Most of the time in the box, it's pretty calm and mellow. You don't hear a lot, but there were a few eruptions that were loud in the box and a couple that had the whole press box swaying. It was so crazy. So.
A loud, sold-out crowd isn't just fun and entertaining. It can have a tactical impact on a football game, and I think we saw that Saturday.
Oh, we for sure saw, and I said that going into this game, the crowd needed to be a factor. They absolutely were. There were penalties that K-State had, very uncharacteristic penalties for them. They're usually a very sound, intelligent football team, but it rattled them a little bit.
And not coincidentally, the big swings, at least when their offense was on the field, were happening on the Rock side of the stadium.
You know what? The Rock is amazing. I'll call them out every time. They're the best student section in the country. It's super loud. They're always involved. The fun that they have with their swaying and everything. I mean, just best student section in the country.
Outstanding environment. I love looking back at everything that's come out of that night just because it brings back some really strong memories from just only 48 hours ago. It was a special evening. All right, to the game. Coming in, you were dealing with a dynamic dual-threat quarterback and a 2,000-yard career rusher next to him. K-State was averaging 7 yards a carry through three games. You held them to 5.3 yards per carry on the night. But overall, what was going to be top of mind for you guys on Saturday night?
Well, we wanted to limit their big plays. Obviously, would have liked to have held them a little less rushing than they got. But we wanted to limit their big plays, and I think we did that for the most part. And we wanted to just keep the quarterback contained, and we did that for the most part.
Quarterback Avery Johnson and running back DJ Giddens, the 1-2 punch, and those guys are very productive and had been coming into your game.
Well, they had been, and they are. Those guys are going to make a lot of noise this year. The running back is super talented. Avery Johnson, everybody knows about. But I thought for the most part we did a good job containing them, and to hold that offense to 9 points I think is a huge deal.
And out of the end zone. K-State's first drive went 12 plays, almost 6 minutes, but it averaged only about 4 yards play. They had to really grind to get down the field, and it ends in only a field goal try. They weren't getting into the end zone.
Well, really the first two drives were that way, right?
Yep.
Is they had almost 30 plays in the first two drives, which was too much. We need to get out of those drives, but not allowing them in the end zone and getting away with just 6 points when we really hadn't played that great to that point was a huge deal.
Yeah, you allude to the second drive as it's the first two, and on that second drive, that's 16 plays. It's 87 yards longer, more than 8 minutes off the clock, but again, only a field goal. And I thought it was a really good stand inside the 10-yard line. They had a second and six, third and six, I think, inside your 10 before they kicked.
Yeah, so again, I can't say enough about our players just really being tough in those situations. It was a difficult situation to be put in early, but our players found a way out of it, and that's the sign of a good defense is when you're resilient and you're not playing at your best, but you're resilient and you're keeping them out of the end zone. That was the key.
To keep two teams like SMU and K-State out of the end zone in your first four games is pretty impressive.
Well, I'm proud of the guys. Like I say, I think the assistant coaches have done a phenomenal job having their guys ready to go. And probably a little bit too much bend, but we never broke in either one of those games. And just the key to college football is they got to score touchdowns, and we've been keeping them out of the end zone, so that's huge.
Yeah, so through two drives, they did snap 28 plays, but how were you feeling in that feeling out process?
Well, I told our coaches, you know what, the key right now, don't let them start making stuff up. We haven't played great yet, and they've only got 6 points, so just stay the course, keep doing what we're doing. I'm not going to change the way I'm calling it. We've only given up 6 points, and we haven't played great yet. So just stay the course. We're going to be okay.
It was a really interesting first half, in part because K-State didn't begin its third possession until just over 2 minutes were left in the first half. That's when things really got interesting. But it was a unique, because both teams were possessing it for longer drives. There were so few possessions in that first half.
Well, there were very few possessions. Not really that many opportunities to make plays, just the way the game was going. And that's why I said on the headset to the coaches, I want you to get with every position group and just tell them, just stay the course, keep doing what you're doing. Good things are going to happen if you just keep trusting the process. And the players did that. The coaches did that, and then we get that 5 or 6 minute explosion, and the game was not over, but mostly over.
Yeah, the first 28 minutes of the first half is like one game, and then those final 2 minutes were kind of game in and of themselves. It was really crazy. The first game-changing play came on a 3rd and 2 from the K-State 33. Jack Kelly with the forced fumble, and then Tommy Prassis, the freshman, they combined for a scoop and score.
Well, so excited for those two guys. I mean, huge play, huge opportunity in this game for us to kind of take control of what was going on. And I'm happy for Tommy. Call him Touchdown Tommy already, yep. And he's just a freshman, so good for him.
And 4 white shirts around that ball, by the way, too.
Well, Batty told me, he said that he was telling him to pick it up, but... I don't know if he really could do that. I guarantee Tommy couldn't hear him.
A lot of composure for the kid to, again, make a clean collection and get in. And, again, only a freshman, and yet you see him. He's already had meaningful reps through games 1 through 3, but he's out there when it matters.
Oh, he's out there when it matters, and he made maybe the biggest play of this game. You're going to like what you see out of that kid for a long time. He's going to be a great player.
So 2 plays after Tommy's touchdown, Tyler Batty records his first career interception to maintain momentum for BYU.
Well, that was huge. I just told the coaches I don't think K-State's going to do anything to screw this up right now. And they were just trying a slip screen to the running back right here. And we had pressure from Jacob Robinson coming off the edge, which forced him to throw it quicker than he wanted to. And Batty had a nice drop. The quarterback didn't think he was dropping. And throws it right to him.
Was that the assignment all along on that
yes,
play for Tyler?
It was. Yeah, Tyler was dropping off the back. In fact, on the headset, this is kind of funny. Coach Pop was like, oh no, we got Batty on number 3 dropping, because number 3 is super fast, but Batty drops right where he's supposed to do it, and the quarterback threw it right to him.
Yeah, not every D coordinator might feel comfortable with his edge lineman in that role, but what makes Tyler a good guy to have in that position?
Well,
right there?
Tyler's a smart football player. He's played a lot of football. We did have safety help over the top, so it wasn't like he was going to have to run all the way deep with him, but I liked the call at the time. Obviously ended up being something that confused the quarterback, and he threw it right to us.
So the defense doing its job there, but 2 plays after that, the offense does its part. It's Retzloff to Roberts, and BYU goes from trailing 6-0 to leading 17-6 in less than 2 minutes. You've coached a lot of football. I don't know that you've ever seen as dramatic a swing in that little time on a football field.
Well, we talk about playing complementary football all the time, and it's offense, it's defense, it's special teams. I thought the offense stepped up big time in this game. They were able to run the ball when they needed to run it. They scored touchdowns on short fields. Every time we gave them a short field, they scored touchdowns. I thought the offense played outstanding.
I guess one thing when the defense sets you up, but they took right advantage of it, and again, the timing of it too, going to the end zone, getting a score, and just kind of keeping the ball rolling for you.
Yeah, the momentum is a huge deal, and I actually heard a talk just recently from President Nelson that talked about spiritual momentum, and he used an example of a basketball game. Well, this was the exact flip in a football game. We had all momentum going in at halftime, and what an unbelievable deal it was.
So BYU took an 11-point lead to the break, and the Cougs kept the ball rolling into the second half. When we come back, we'll see how the Cougars and the Cougar defense in particular came up big to keep K-State under control after halftime. We continue our conversation with Coach Hill. As we head to break, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new edition of After Further Review. They'll break down the film and the win against Kansas State and look ahead to Baylor. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we return, the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
We are back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach, Jay Hill. Coach Hill and the Cougs victorious over K-State Saturday night, 38-9. The final, BYU improves to 4-0 on the season. and enters both the AP and the coaches' polls at number 22. Next up, trip to Waco to face 2-2 Baylor on Saturday morning. It'll be a 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central Time kick at McLean Stadium. Well, we went into the break with BYU leading K-State 17-6 following that sudden turnaround in the final 2 minutes of the first half. Second half begins with the Wildcats in possession, and your defense came up big again. This time, Harrison Taggart with his first career pick.
Yeah, this was a great job. We run a little stunt up front. We called it Nemo. I don't know why we called it that, but we called it Nemo. Batty comes just scot-free, doesn't make the sack. Quarterback steps up, throws it right to Harry, but Batty comes just clean as can be right there. If he doesn't intercept it, the crazy thing is Crew Wakely is going to intercept it right behind him. So.
And so a couple of guys with their first career picks as Cougars, Tyler Batty and Harrison Taggart. You had a loss of Ben Bywater before the season, which you kind of were able to prepare for a little bit. But what can you say about how Harrison's kind of occupied that role, if you will, and how he's kind of embraced it?
Well, it's very difficult to replace someone as talented and as good a player as Ben Bywater was. But I think Harry's done a great job of stepping up. Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker playing at the level they're playing. I think Justin N has done a phenomenal job with that linebacking crew, and really the backups have played a lot this year too, and those guys have played sound. So I like that linebacking crew. They just continue to get better, and they're young. Now that group's young. They're only going to get better and better.
So we see that the pick sets the offense up in a good spot again, and it wasn't just that you're making plays with your guys. The offense making K-State pay right away. Darius Lassiter adds to the lead off a pass from Jake Retzloff, and again, it's the complementary part of it. You're doing your part. They're capitalizing immediately and kind of keeping K-State at bay.
Well, the offense had so many short fields, but I said this before, they might not have the total yardage people were looking for at the end of the game, but they didn't have the opportunity to. They took advantage of all their opportunities. I thought they played outstanding.
The average starting field position for BYU was the 44-yard line.
Yeah.
K-State was the 21. If you're at plus 23, you're probably winning a lot of football games.
Yeah, right, you're going to win. And that's, I think I mentioned this, that's K-State's MO. We were able to flip the script on them. What they're usually really good at and why they win football games and why they're so tough to beat, we were able to flip that on them. We had the average field position start that was much better than theirs. And the offense took advantage of all the opportunities they had, and we were very opportunistic on defense and special teams.
So you get the scoop and score, and then you get the two quick touchdowns on short fields. That's 21 points on three takeaways. Again, that exchange rate is going to win you football games.
Exactly right. And, again, that goes back to just playing together, and I think the team is starting to believe in everything that we're preaching to them. And we've got players on both sides of the balls that can make those huge plays like they did, and they did it on Saturday night.
After the Lassiter touchdown to make it 24-6 BYU, one of the most exciting moments we've ever seen at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, went from near disaster to delirium. The Parker Kingston punt return touchdown was a wild one.
Well, it was crazy. We were in safe defense because it was a shorter fourth down attempt, so we left our defense out on the field. Parker, the ball gets kicked over his head just a little bit. He actually touches it right there. We were screaming in the box, what is he doing? And then all of a sudden,
that's what he's doing.
This is what happens. And, you know, that block by Glasker was huge right there. That block right there by Jacob Robinson, huge. And then you can see the effort. Jack Kelly's got to shield the guy right at the end. I was just so happy with the effort of the defensive guys on that return. And then obviously Parker Kingston did a phenomenal job of picking that thing up and going. But that was one more stadium eruption that you just don't hear that at all places across the country. Unbelievable atmosphere right there.
And how great to have so many different players from different units kind of contribute there on that play too.
Oh yeah, that was huge. And it's big. I had actually just talked to the defense about one of the great signs of a great defense is how they play on safe punt return and how they are on their field goal block. And if you want to gauge a defense how good they are, watch them and their effort on those phases. And you can tell if you got a great defense or not. And sure enough, to be able to come up with the touchdown on safe punt return was huge.
Just to clarify what that means, when you say safe punt return, it means not a typical special teams unit exchange. You're playing with your defensive players.
Yeah, we got 10 defensive players out there just making sure we're stopping all fake punts. And those guys' job is to set up the return. And it actually got, for that particular one, was set to our sideline. And that's right where it went. Mm.
After a K-State field goal for the Wildcats' final 5 points of the night in the third quarter, they got the ball three more times, and it was three turnovers on downs. Your guys simply did not let K-State back in the game.
Well, those were like three more turnovers, right? If you get out of those fourth downs, it's like flipping field position. The offense took over with good field position and did a good job with the ball and just running out the clock. I just think those were such huge. The second half was so big on just getting out of those fourth down stops, the turnover.
That play right there.
Huge.
Blasker's sack of Johnson there. Yeah. He gets away. He can go. I mean, that's what he does.
Oh, he can run.
Yeah.
And if he gets out of that, that goes back to Isaiah Glasker making huge plays. Ice Mower right here. Those fourth down stops were critical in putting the game away.
And again, you've been able to get reserves good reps against a power conference opponent here late in the game too.
Well, huge, right? We had all backups in there late in the game against the number 13 team in the country. I mean, that's a huge deal. I don't think it can be understated that what an important deal it was finishing off the game the way we did.
So you have faced now two power conference opponents. Neither team scored a touchdown. SMU, K-State we're talking about. We know how productive K-State can be. SMU put up 66 against TCU on the weekend. Looking back at holding them to 15 is really, I think, something that will hold up for the season, hopefully.
Well, I think we mentioned this when we played SMU. They were averaging 54 points at home. So for them to put 66 up on TCU, is that surprising? That's probably more than I thought they would have, but they've been that good at home. So for us to hold them without a touchdown in their own stadium was big. And then to do what we did against K-State was big. Now, I think this is critical moving forward. We got to stay humble. We got a lot of room for improvement. And our guys know that. We'll point that out to them today, that if we just continue to stay the course, do things that we've been coached to do, we got a chance to get even much better.
We're going to pop up on the screen here some of BYU's top 25 statistical ranks through four games. And once you're through a third of the season and you have played two power conference teams, you can start to see some numbers that hold water. And so you take a look at that there and what ones to you really matter, resonate most?
Well, really the first three are some of the biggest. Just turnovers gained is obviously such a huge stat in college football. Red zone touchdown percentage is what we base it on. If we can hold them to field goals, we're usually doing what we need to do to get out of drives. And then pass efficiency right now has been outstanding through four games. They're going to get tested more as the year goes on, but to this point, it's been really good. A lot of good stuff right there.
Okay, let's continue with the good stuff and take a look at some players of the week. We'll start with defense. Jacob Robinson gets the nod this week.
Yeah, Jacob's just steady Eddie, right? He does what he's supposed to do. You don't see him necessarily show up tons in the game because he's always covering his guy so well. The quarterbacks rarely throw it to him, but he's been super productive in coverage. He had more tackles in this game, just showing up at that nickel spot. And again, that guy is one of our very best players for sure.
To special teams, Parker Kingston was named Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week this morning, not surprisingly. He is one of Coach Papinga's Special Teams Players of the Game for BYU. And also a couple of your guys, defensive players, are also part of the special teams group. He went Parker Kingston, Isaiah Glasker, and Jack Kelly for special teams.
Well, you look at those blocks that Jack Kelly and Glasker had, and then also those guys are on punt team. They're such huge players in our overall productivity and scheme. And then this is just an outstanding effort
by
Parker Kingston. So watch Isaiah get the first block, and then he's leading thing down the sideline. Jack Kelly's going to show up right here with shielding this last guy right there.
Right.
But those guys' effort is just outstanding, and they're becoming phenomenal players. Can't wait to see what their futures hold in this game.
All right, our future is a break, and we'll tell you that as we go to break this Saturday morning, you can tune to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Mountain. We're getting up early as the Cougars visit the Baylor Bears. As we go to break now, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads, JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, I'll look ahead to BYU and Baylor. BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. You're in the coordinator's corner. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. All right, to BYU now 4-0 for the first time since 2021. Welcome back to the coordinator's corner. Cougs opening Big 12 play at 1-0. with a 38-9 win over K-State Saturday night. Cougs now 4-0 all-time against the Wildcats at home and 5-4 in that all-time series against K-State. Next for BYU, the Baylor Bears Saturday morning in Waco, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. local Central Time at McLean Stadium. Let's preview the matchup now with defensive coordinator Jay Hill. Our look ahead brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics. All right, BYU and Baylor, 4-0 Cougs, 2-2 Bears on their home field in a morning game.
Yeah, super excited about it. This is a team that can be physical with you on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. We're going to have to do a good job of stopping the run and then forcing them into long yardage situations. That's going to be a critical part of this game.
All right, they have road losses at Utah and Colorado. Yeah. And then they have home wins over an FCS and then Air Force. The Colorado loss just came on Saturday night. That was a game they led by two touchdowns at one point and then saw the game tied on a Hail Mary and then lose in OT. If you were to put yourself in their shoes, what's their biggest challenge right now?
Well, just trying to find out who they are and trust the system. They were playing good against Colorado. They had a spurt against Utah where they looked good at the end of the game. So we got to do a good job of just doing what we do, trying to keep them down, and they're going to be ready now. They were going to get their very, very best shot. They're at home. They got their backs up against the wall a little bit. They're going to give their very best shot.
Their red zone offense ranks 120th. Meantime, we've talked about your red zone defense excelling. Lots of middle of the pack stats. They're trying to find themselves, like you say, but just that red zone number alone, if those trends held, you'd like your shot on Saturday.
Well, we got to do a better job of keeping teams out of the red zone. That's something that we can get better at. And when we get in there, we got to continue to be salty and not let people get in the end zone, which we've been good at, but we got to limit teams' attempts in the red zone.
They have a new offensive coordinator in Jake Spavital. He was a former head coach at Texas State, been an OC at Cal, other schools as well. How would you describe their style offensively?
Well, if they can run it and they can pound you, they're going to try to do that. They do a good job of play action. The quarterbacks are athletic. We're going to have to do a good job of keeping the ball from getting down the field in their play action game. But he's been around a lot now. He's an offensive coordinator that's done great things. We're going to have to be good on Saturday.
They have changed quarterbacks already. Yeah. They opened with Daquan Finn. They've changed to Sawyer Robertson. How would you describe Sawyer Robertson's style of play back there? Has some good numbers.
He can run it if he needs to. He can run it. He doesn't run it as much as the other guy does, but his pass efficiency is higher right now. He's actually over 160 pass efficiency mm-hmm. rating right now, which is pretty good. So we'll have our work cut out for us. I mean, this is not a bad team. They're 2-2, and they've lost two pretty close games to two Big 12 opponents. So we got our work cut out for us.
As opposed to maybe a DJ Giddens, they have a running back kind of by committee right now. A bunch of guys getting a lot of reps back there.
Yeah, but they're physical. I think the running backs are actually the strength of their offense right now. I think those guys run physical. They've got speed in the backfield. They're going to make you wrap them up and tackle the right way.
Can you give us some insight into how soon it is after the K-State game wraps up that you're already into Baylor work?
Well, our guys have really broken down Baylor before we even start today. But most of the coaches, we move on to Baylor sometime Sunday/Monday morning. This morning's been almost all Baylor that we've looked at.
You have a lot of people working on it, but you personally, when do you want to kind of get eyes on a team to get a sense?
Well, I spent some time on Baylor back in the summer just to try to get an idea about personnel and who they were, and then I spend most of my time today is when I get really rolling on them.
Okay. It's a morning game, as we talked about. 11 a.m. there, 10 o'clock here, body clock-wise. You guys excel at night, really used to these nighttime games. Maybe less of a record of success recently in the daytime games. Now, it's not coincidental that a lot of the daytime games are the higher profile, marquee ranked opponents. So you played really, really good teams in the daytime. Is there anything to a daytime routine and a nighttime routine that you'll look at this week?
No, not me. I mean, you always evaluate everything in a program, but I think sometimes media might put too much into that stuff. It's the reality of getting your guys ready to play. I thought last year we had a 10 a.m. kick, I think 10 a.m. against Oklahoma, and I thought we played really well.
Could have won that game.
Should have won that game.
So, and then the week after also was the daytime in Stillwater,
yeah,
as I recall.
So bottom line, I don't know. I think people put too much merit into stuff like that. We got to have our guys ready to go. Our players need to be ready to go. The coaches got to be ready to go. It doesn't matter when we kick off. that stuff never has affected me. I don't want it to, so I don't put too much credit into it.
You mentioned, I think, the word hungry a little earlier. You're at 4-0. You're now ranked. It's been a climb, and you've earned that climb. Does that get hammered home this week? The fact that, yeah, we're in a good spot, but let's not lose this edge.
Well, the best part about being 4-0 is an opportunity to be 5-0. And if you don't take advantage of it, then you didn't handle it the right way. And I think we stay humble, we stay hungry, and we prepare like we have the first four games of the season, and we'll like the outcome. But as soon as you start thinking that you've arrived and that you can change the process a little bit, that's when you get humbled again. And we can't do that.
Kalani in postgame said our next statement comes against Baylor. It feels like he's treating each week as a statement. Like, it's not a season statement. It's a game-by-game statement.
Well, I know that's kind of coach talk, but that's reality, is if you look past one opponent to the next, you'll get beat. And our deal is we got to treat Baylor like it's the biggest game of the year, because it is. And we got to go down there and give them our best effort, because that's what it's going to require to win on the road in the Big 12.
Is your plan, by the way, still to be, you said you'll probably be coaching from the booth through the bye week. The bye week comes next week. Is that kind of still your plan right now?
Yeah, it's for sure the plan through the bye week, and then we'll assess it 2 weeks from now. I kind of like the box and my ability to just kind of see everything and hone in on my call sheet and what they're doing, and it's been successful for us this far. So I'll assess that here next week.
Could you see yourself staying there just because it has worked out well?
Well, if it's good for the ticker, then that's what we'll keep doing. But I don't know. Right now it's been good for us. And like I say, I think we need to reassess where it's at. But my thought would be probably stay in the box.
Last couple things for you here before Coach Roderick comes in. How is the health, the recovery process?
Honestly, frustrating at times. I want to be doing more. I don't want to be dumb with it. I want to kind of listen to doctors, but we also have a job to do. And so it's that frustrating balance on what does that look like. The players have handled it outstanding. I really think the coaches have done a good job with it. I want to be there and do everything that I'm always used to doing, but I want to be smart as well. I owe that to Sarah and the kids and to BYU to make sure that I'm at my best. So it's a funny balancing act right now.
Are there benchmarks you're having to hit as you go along on this thing, or is it kind of steady as she goes for like the foreseeable future where it's kind of moderated?
I guess benchmarks week to week right now, and just making sure you feel the right way is kind of the benchmark I'm given. And I try to be smart, but there's times also where you might have to pull back a little bit.
Okay, last question I have for you has to do with the team health. With a bye week just around the corner, you've gotten through 4 of 5 games. Where would you say are the team defensive health is at this point?
Well, for the most part, very good. I think our sports scientists, I mentioned this before, are doing a phenomenal job with that. We got guys that will get back that will make us better, especially on offense. There's a few. For the most part, we're staying mostly healthy right now. We got a couple dings that we'll work on, but for the most part, we're in a good spot.
Awesome. Coach, always great to have you here. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so
much.
Have
a great week. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the coach and a special guest look back at their win with Kansas State against Kansas State and ahead to the weekend. Watch Tuesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. Coming up next, BYU OC Aaron Roderick joins us as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Second half hour of our weekly show getting underway now with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick as we look back on the Cougs' Saturday night home win over Kansas State, 38-9 your final. BYU now 24-3. In its last 27 night games, it was a great night. Cougs moved to 4-0 on the year and into the national polls at 22. We say hello now to Coach Aaron Roderick. Good to be with you again.
Great to be back.
All right, you've had many, many good days and nights over your history inside Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Where does Saturday night rank?
It was up there. That was a shout out to our fans. That was an unbelievable environment. The place was bonkers all night. And one of their coaches that we know after the game said most of their coaches started out with one ear covering, and they tried to go to two on their headsets because they couldn't hear, and they didn't have enough two-eared headsets.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was the fans did a great job causing some problems for the opponent.
That is an interesting side note. Yeah, it was the largest home crowd in 15 years The Rock was there early. The card stunts were cool. The place was just electric. It was a special night.
It was, and we're tough to beat at home, and really thankful for our fans.
All right, what was your read on K-State coming in defensively?
Well, they've been one of the best defenses in college football the last 3 years, and the one thing that was very apparent is they stopped the run. You know, lots of 1 and 2 yard gains against really good teams, and they make teams one-dimensional with their run defense. And so I was proud of our team. I thought we were physical, and we were able to put together enough efficient runs. You know, we averaged when you subtract the sacks, we averaged about 5 yards per called run play in the game. And I don't think anybody's done that to them in a couple of years.
Personnel hits relative to a team that's good against the run. You're down your top two running backs. You're down your top two right guards, if you want to look at it that way, too. Let's look at running backs. Sione Moa gets the first snaps in the backfield for you on Saturday night.
Yeah, he played a very good game. But I'll tell you, none of us were surprised. This is what we've seen him do in practice. And it was just a matter of when his opportunity would come. You know, he's had a couple good players ahead of him. But all of us have sort of known what he's all about. He's a super athlete. Sione Moa can dunk a basketball any way you want, and he's about 5'10". I mean, he's
that guy.
He's an explosive three-skill back. I mean, he can do it all, and it's just been a matter of getting his chance.
Okay, you want to get your guys back as soon as you can, talking about L.J. Martin, Hinkley, Ropati, but there is a bye week on the backside of this game. Is there a common sense element to, well, we've got guys that are kind of doing the job. If we can buy as much time, do you look that way? Or are you really going, hey, if they're ready today, I want to play them today?
We look at it, you know, every game is so big. It's a one game season this week. So anyone that can help us win, we'll play them. Now, of course, we're not going to put anybody's long-term health at risk. And so there's a balance there you have to find. But we'll use every able-bodied guy we can find to go beat this team this week, because we're going to play a really good team on the road.
Meantime, you have turned to multiple guys at running back, and they're all giving you really good efforts.
Yeah, and we believe in all those guys. We said before the season that we had depth there, and I think, you know, and got some grief from the media when we put a bunch of names. You know, we listed a lot of names on our depth chart in preseason, and that was, we were not playing games. We were saying all these guys can play and probably will play for us at some point this season.
What is the short-term update, do you think, on LJ and Hinkley at this moment?
There's a good chance we could have both. I would say more likely that one of them finds a way in, and one of them might be another week after the bye, but I think they're both possible.
Okay. Not getting a lot of attention, the right guard spot. You had Sonny Maccasini in game one.
Yeah.
You had Austin Leusa in game two. And now comes a former defensive lineman in Bruce Mitchell getting a start at right guard against a really good team in game four.
Yeah, and all three of them played well. And Bruce, just, man, I'm really proud of him. It was his first game ever starting at O-line for us.
Yeah.
And he graded out at what we call champions level. He graded very highly and played a really solid game.
Good for him. That's, again, you don't think, but that's an important spot on your offensive line, as everyone is, and you're going down to number three.
It is, and but it feels like we're starting to develop an identity there again, you know, where we can be physical. We can get a yard on 4th and 1 if we need it. We can close out the game in 4-minute offense, and two games in a row now we've closed out the game in 4-minute offense, got the first down we needed, and take a knee in victory formation. You know, that's a big deal to be able to do that, and I'm proud of those guys.
Let's get into the game itself for a bit. Just two drives in the first quarter. Your third possession begins halfway through the second quarter. Fast moving game, very few possessions.
It was, and you know, they were using a lot of clock. And we're a team that uses quite a bit of clock, and we're okay with that. I was disappointed in our slow start. The first possession, we didn't get anything going. Second possession, we have 10-play drive and don't get any points out of it. That was disappointing. But then, you know, the game, that second quarter was wild.
It was that.
I don't know any other way to put it. That was a wild quarter.
Your first scoring drive went 13 plays, 62 yards, almost 7 minutes. You convert on a 4th and 1 run with Sione Moa, but the sack of Retzlaff kind of set you back to a 2nd and 22, a 3rd and 21. But it was important you get points on that drive. Made the game 6-3 as Will got you a 31-yarder.
It was, and one of the point plays I want to point out was the sack. It was in a way, it was bad because it set us back, and we ended up only getting a field goal. But Kansas State checked their coverage in the middle of our motion in the play. We had a good play called. They checked the motion, and Jake had nowhere to go with the ball, and he protected the football. there's worse things than a sack sometimes, you know, and
we've seen that.
We have. Instead of trying to force something or whatever, he protected the ball. We end up getting 3 points, which is not a touchdown, but it's better than turning it over or having a bad mistake.
Then after that field goal, we just saw the entire complexion of the game changed. Two huge plays by the defense. First was a scoop and score. Now you're playing with a lead suddenly. The Tommy touchdown was massive in this one.
It was huge. Yeah, those turnovers were big. The scoop and score was big. And then, of course, the interception was huge, too.
Yeah, so we're going to first see Jack Kelly popping the ball loose. We now call him Touchdown Tommy. He scoops. He scores. BYU suddenly with the lead. And then comes in another takeaway almost immediately. This next time it's a Tyler Batty pick. And now you've got the ball on the 29-yard line. First and 10, under a minute to go. Take us through your thinking on these plays. We see the capper here.
We had one timeout, and so we went with a quarterback run on the first play, mm-hmm. got some good yards, and then went right to one of our tempo two-minute plays. And, Jake, that was an unbelievable throw versus cover two. He put the ball right, we call it a hole shot, into cover two, fit it perfectly in there. Haven't seen a throw like that since Zach Wilson against La Tech in 2020. I mean, that was a rope, one of the best throws I've seen in a long time.
You go down from down 6-0 to leading 17-6 in less than 2 minutes. All the momentum and just a wild turnaround.
It was, and the difference again is the turnovers. You know, at the end of the day, they have three, we have zero. You'll almost never lose.
Okay, we come back. We'll take a look at how the Cougs closed out K-State in the second half on Saturday night. You can get ready for BYU and Baylor this upcoming Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage beginning 2 hours before kickoff. That's 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Mountain Time on BYU TV. More with Coach Aaron Roderick as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more after this. Welcome back inside the Coordinator's Corner, recapping Saturday night's big win over K-State, a win that puts BYU in the national top 25. In both the AP and coaches polls, both have BYU 22nd. This Saturday, the 4-0 Cougs go to Waco to take on the 2-2 Baylor Bears. More on that game in our final segment. First up, we wrap up the K-State win. 38-9 the final. BYU was roughly a touchdown underdog coming in. Visiting with Coach Aaron Roderick, up 17-6 at the break. You knew the Wildcats would get the ball to open the second half. Wasn't long, though, before your offense was back on the field. Another BYU takeaway set you up in great field position. This time it was a Harrison Taggart INT.
Yeah, Harrison made a great play and gave us great field position, and we were able to capitalize.
How much are you actually, when Harrison makes that play, are you even seeing it? Are you kind of already into?
I don't see much of it. I'm usually head down planning the next series. And this year, now we have the tablets to watch the previous series, so I'm usually trying to watch the previous series as quickly as I can and then start putting together the next series. And then I hear everybody cheering. I look
up
and
go.
See Harrison running down the field. So, yeah, that's – but I – so, unfortunately, I don't get to see our defense.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
A lot.
As a result of those short fields, primarily, the field position advantage was huge all night. BYU was plus 23 yards in average starting field position margin. Under Kalani, BYU is now 24-0 at home with an edge of 5 yards or better, just an average starting field position, and plus 23 is almost impossible to beat.
Yeah, the field position was unbelievable all night, and, it was just a luxury for sure.
So leading 17-6, you get the ball back, you're at the K-State 27, two plays to get in the end zone, a Sione Moore run, then a Jake Retzloff pass, and Sione's run was nice,
very well blocked, and then he made a good play, and then the touchdown pass was just a play we've been setting up for weeks. And the two receivers, Cody and Darius, executed perfectly, and Jake was able to give him the ball.
Okay. The score to Lassiter there puts you in front 24-6. Then came a SportsCenter top 10 play after the Cougars forced a punt. You're probably again into your call sheet, getting ready for your next set of plays, but maybe you weren't. When Parker Kingston decides to run all over the entire field, what was going on up with you?
That was wild. Parker is a really dynamic athlete. I mean, he really showed on this play. He dropped the ball, but once he got rolling here, you see how fast he really is. I mean, he's a legit track guy who ran great track times in high school. That was the main reason we took a chance on him, and he's proven us right. He's a really dynamic player.
And that was as big a moment as the stadium has seen in some time.
That was exciting.
All right, so it's 31-9 leading into the fourth quarter. Defense doing its job, forcing turnovers on downs, and you're just wanting to run the ball, take clock, make first downs, do it while running the ball, and you were doing just that.
Correct. Once you know it's a four-score game, now you're just counting possessions. And so now it's a matter of just run the football, use the whole clock, throw it only if you have to, which really you don't. You don't have too much. I think we threw one or two passes in the fourth quarter is all. And they were, I think it might have only been one. I can't remember now. But, you know, you want to just keep that clock running and limit the number of possessions the other team has and get out of there with a win.
And early in the fourth quarter, kind of the capper in this one here, and it was Sione Moa. You're looking for just to move the sticks, and he gets the first down and more. I thought it might have been the run of the year for BYU, just a great run. In the NFL, NFL Network, they do a segment called Angry Runs, and I thought this was an angry run by Sione Moa for the touchdown.
It was. The play was well blocked, and Jake made a good decision. That's a play where Jake can give it or keep it, and Jake made the right decision. The perimeter blocking was good, but without question, the broken tackles, I mean, you just don't see that against a team like Kansas State. They are an excellent tackling team, and Sione just found a way. I mean, he's just, you know, played such a great game.
Yeah, so that run says a lot about the kind of player he is, right? What can he be for you?
Well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, try to predict too much in the future, but we have a lot of confidence in him, and we believe that he's going to be a really good player for us, yes.
Okay, only one offensive penalty in the game. And it wasn't even really a penalty because it was a tactical infraction. You took 5 yards to get more. You took 5 yards on a punt when it, yeah. You're just gonna. So really, it's a clean game by the O. No penalties, no giveaways. That's what you're looking to do.
Exactly. No turnovers, no penalties, and I thought our execution in the red zone was outstanding. And you know, again, 5 yards per called run play. Every time we're handing the ball to running backs, we're making an average of 5 yards. If we can keep that up, we're going to have a chance to be a really good offense.
And on the whole, you matched K-State in yards per play for the night. Another team, the defense keeps them out of the end zone. You score when you get a chance to. It was one of those games that, like, everything works complementary the way you want.
It was a great team win. And I'm glad you put it that way. Complementary football is part of the way we play. You know, you win games as a team. Field position's a factor. Turnovers are a factor. Special teams are a factor. And it has to all fit together nice and tight to win as a team.
We've already talked a little bit about him. We'll let you talk some more about him because he's your offensive player of the game in this game. You did take the running back, Sione Moa. Sione I Moa, officially, because there's a Sione Moa defensive player and an Ice Moa defensive player. But Sione I Moa is your offensive player of the game.
On offense, we call him None. So that's kind of his nickname on offense. And I don't know if that's a family nickname too, but I learned it from Harvey, and that's what we call him. So
None,
yeah. But he played really well. He's a very good receiver. He had two or three catches, two of them that were really good catches, and like made a good play. He's a good blocker, and just really solid day.
And the running back room is proving to be a vital thing for you right now, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because our depth is getting tested. But Enoch Nawahine came in and made some really good runs at the end of the game as well. You know, we still have Miles available. Pokai did some good things in the game. And, you know, hopefully we'll get LJ and Folau back shortly too.
Okay, time again for a break. As we step away, we remind you that for your Cougar sports day-to-day play-by-play, go to BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan, noon Eastern Time weekdays on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up in our final segment of this week's show, we'll look ahead to this weekend's game in Waco with OC Aaron Roderick. The Coordinator's Corner is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Welcome back inside the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU now ranked 22nd after a 38-9 win over K-State on Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. 4-0, BYU visiting 2-2 Baylor this upcoming weekend. Both teams 2-0 on each other's home field in the all-time series. Final segment of the show now with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Before we get to thought to Baylor, a few words about quarterback Jake Retzlaff. Against K-State, he records his single-game pass efficiency high against an FBS opponent. He's top 20 in touchdown passes nationally, top 30 in passing yards and yards per completion, 31st in total offense, making strides with every game, playing really well, I think.
He is, and again, a couple of the best things he did in this game were things you don't even see, where he made a decision not to throw the ball somewhere, or I thought he protected the football really well. That was number one. And then he threw his highest completion percentage game so far, I think, since he's been here. And then
it was a 71, yeah, I think, on Saturday.
A couple of these red zone throws or plays that just executed very well. And I thought he played a really solid game.
And you mentioned the throw to Chase Roberts earlier. That's a difficult throw to make.
That's a throw not very many players in college football can make, yeah.
Okay. Jake Retzlaff helping BYU to the win, 38-9 over K-State. Let's preview Baylor a little bit now. Strength is the defense, I think, on that team. There's that throw to Chase. They're top 40 in third down D and first down D, top 30 in scoring defense. They held Air Force to 3 points and only 3.4 yards per carry. They had 8 sacks on Saturday night against Colorado.
Yeah, they are. First of all, what stands out is their size. They're very long up front. Secondary, same thing. They're tall corners. They're a big team and good athletes. We've played them twice in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. and so we know what we're up against, at least athletically. And then Dave Aranda's, one of the best defensive minds in college football for a long time. So I'm sure we're going to get their very best.
Okay, so what stands out about the two games you have played with them? One was a loss down there, and the next year you got to play them back at your place and you got it back. Did one help instruct the other, and what were the impressions you had from those two games?
Well, the defensive schemes have changed a little bit, different coordinators, but what stands out to me just is the athleticism of the players they have on defense. You're talking about a lot of speed and size, great pass rush. They're good at stopping the run. And last time we went down there, it was a tough day, tough environment, tough road trip. And we need to go get our first Big 12 road win.
You're used to playing a lot of late games. Now you get the opposite end of the spectrum, 10 o'clock a.m. body clock for you guys next Saturday.
Yeah, that's a challenge. We're going to have to be ready for that.
Okay, going hard into this game, followed by a bye week, knowing there's a bye week on the other end of it, but yet keeping that edge, that hunger to go in the right way, what's maybe top of mind for you as you talk to your guys this week?
Well, top of mind is just every week is a one-game season, and, you can't get too high or too low from a loss or a game where you didn't play as well as you thought, and you can't get too high from when you win. You got to just keep preparing the exact same way, treat every opponent the same, and keep that, like you said, keep that same edge we have a long way to go still.
But you're pleased with what you guys have shown you to get to 4-0 for sure?
For sure, yeah. We're a team that's improving. I think we're getting better every week, and we got to keep improving.
All right, good luck in the week of prep, and we'll see you down there in Waco. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, that is Aaron Roderick, and that'll do it for Week 5 of the Coordinator's Corner. For Coaches Jay Hill, Aaron Roderick, and our entire crew, my name is Greg Wrubell. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Go Cougs!